G'day and welcome to the Funeral Fix podcast.
I'm Oliver Thompson.
And I'm Yaz Trelope.
The Funeral Fix podcast brings you informative, engaging and inspiring discussions about all things funeral celebrancy, including working with grief, the art of ritual and ceremony, and how, as aspiring or highly qualified funeral celebrants, we have the opportunity to make a huge impact on our communities.
We believe that the work of funeral celebrants is truly special and deserves the spotlight. So whether you're a seasoned celebrant, a fresh face in the industry, or just someone curious about the beautiful world of funeral ceremonies, you're in the right place.
Each episode will be a deep dive into the heart and soul of funeral celebrancy. And we're not just scratching the surface. We're peeling back the layers, exploring the artistry, the compassion, and the incredible stories that make this profession so meaningful.
We're not shying away from the tough conversations either. Grief is a part of life. And as celebrants, we embrace it with empathy and grace. We'll be sharing insights on navigating those sensitive moments and creating ceremonies that truly honour and celebrate life.
So whether you're a funeral industry professional, a celebrant in the making, or simply someone seeking inspiration, join us every fortnight as we dive deep into the world of funeral celebrancy.
It's time to level up your understanding, get inspired, and celebrate the extraordinary world of funerals with the Funeral Fix podcast. Being a funeral celebrant involves guiding people through some of their most challenging moments. So it's crucial to ensure that we're meeting our clients where they're at and have the skills to navigate sensitive conversations.
In today's episode, we're taking a deep dive into navigating conversations where grief is involved, so we can all bring warmth, compassion, and artistry to our work, hold space for our clients' grief, and learn how to lead with intuition.
So let's start with a commonly asked question, Yaz. What does the term holding space mean? And more importantly, what does it look and feel like for funeral celebrants?
Absolutely, Ollie. This term holding space is thrown around a little bit and it can be interchanged with lots of different other words and meanings. But in the context of how we use it, and especially in the context of funeral celebrancy, what we really mean is creating an environment where grieving families feel heard, supported, and understood. So it's about providing a safe space for them to really express their emotions without judgment. And that is really key. And for us as modern funeral celebrants, to be able to sit comfortably with the discomfort of big emotions without feeling the need to fix them. And I'm going to reiterate that point, Ollie, because it is so important. It is about us being able to sit comfortably with the discomfort of big emotions without feeling the need to fix them. It really is, because so many of us kind of get into this work feeling like we want to help. We're helpers. We want to help people as much as possible, but sometimes that transcends into a space beyond helping and into fixing. And that isn't helpful for us, especially as funeral celebrants who want to get regular work and want to do this week in, week out. And it's also not helpful for our clients when we're overcompensating and going beyond our scope of work and what we're there to do professionally. So when you approach your clients, in particularly those in-person meetings with them, through this lens of not fixing and feeling really comfortable in the discomfort without that need to fix, it really shifts the paradigm around what your scope of work is, how you can help them, and also how you can set boundaries, not just for your clients, but for yourself as well. And we talk a lot about boundaries in the course, Ollie, and how really important they are. You are the master of boundaries. I'm in awe. You've learned so much from you. I'm so grateful for that. But when you approach your work through this lens, suddenly there's a deeper understanding and a much more thoughtful approach to your work. So I know for me, once this concept really dropped in for me, I was able to take my clients to new and profound places within themselves, even before the ceremony was written or delivered, without feeling like I needed to fix them. It was just this full sense of being comfortable and okay with where wherever they're at.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Just creating a space, especially in that first meeting, where people can feel, like you said, comfortable to be wherever they're at, but to feel okay about perhaps laughing, sharing a story, sharing a funny moment, funny memory, or even crying, you know, allowing all of those emotions to really just be there and not to pretend or try and disguise them or like you said, you know, help them or try and fix the problem, but just really being present in that moment allows them that space to really share. And I find it really powerful from a ceremony crafting point of view as well, because in that moment when people do feel comfortable and you're providing this warm and friendly space with permission to be however they want to be, it really often allows them to unlock all this information, which it allows them to provide you with information which are kind of like those golden nuggets that you can then implement into the ceremony. And I think they're really key moments as celebrants when we kind of allow this holding space to take place. We not only give them the space that they need, but it allows us to get information that we can then use for later on. So it's a two-way benefit, I guess you could say.
That's so true, Ollie. And when you really think about the core of what we're there to do, it is about connection. It's about establishing connection with our clients so that we can help them create a beautiful, meaningful, modern ceremony for their person. So being able to just sit with them and meet them where they are and make them feel seen and heard, these are all really authentic, natural ways to connect with them so that they open up more, so that essentially you get more information to write beautiful ceremonies that are really connected to them as people, to their person and how that person lived their life and to everyone else there in the room. So together you kind of co-create this beautiful, magical ceremony that's all built on connection.
And I think at that moment as well, when you're meeting with the clients, it's being intuitive and being really open to what is happening, where they are going, and kind of just allowing them to guide that. So I guess you could say it's leading with intuition. So question for you, Yaz, how do you think we as funeral celebrants can step away from perhaps, you know, frantically writing notes or thinking about the next question to ask, but how can we really lean into being really present and right there with our clients?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I definitely think this concept of leading with intuition is a real key aspect of holding space because it does allow that deeper level of connection. So I know for me, especially when I was starting out, I leaned quite heavily on my notes and my questionnaires when I was interviewing families and I'd go and meet with them.
Yeah.
But now I rely so much more on my intuition, which allows me to connect with them in a much more authentic way. And that means putting my questions to the side. I actually ask them if they're comfortable with me recording the conversation. So I have all the notes there. I don't even need a notepad and pen. And I sit down with them and have a beautiful, enriching conversation person to person. I also think that then that can transition into the ceremony as well and how much we rely on our notes and our scripts. Yeah. I know you do this so well, Ollie, and you really have the confidence to go off script throughout your entire ceremony. You use a lot of dot points even, don't you?
Yeah, so I guess when it comes to key details that are really important to keep, I'll have that written down. But yeah, dot points are probably key for me. It was something that I learned many, many years ago when it came to public speaking, you know, just being able to engage a crowd. Looking at your notes when you're speaking, I know we're kind of going off the topic of holding space at the moment, but I guess, you know, in ceremony, it is kind of holding space, right, as well. It's not just that first meeting where it can take place.
Definitely.
But I've just found such a big difference in just jotting down important notes like a welcome and introduction, acknowledgement of country, introduce yourself, acknowledge those that aren't there or whatever it may be. And just by putting those little notes, I remind myself what I need to say, but I'm not following it word for word. So I'm looking at people. My head is up. My notes are down. And especially in that first couple of minutes of a ceremony, any ceremony, I think, it's so important that we use that time to be building rapport and developing an engaging ceremony. And I think at that point, It's when the audience, the guests, I say audience because we talk about the audience journey, but it's the group of guests that are there. Mourners, sometimes people like to use, but I prefer to use the term ceremony guests. They show up and they're not really sure how they feel, or they're not really sure how they're going to feel, and they're faced with so many different emotions. And I think there's a little bit of trepidation there as well. But when I approach guests, even as they're arriving or even when I first get up to speak, I just try and really focus on creating a space where they are comfortable to feel and to be however they need to be in that moment. And I just feel that sometimes having words written down, every single word, including hello, what my name is, things like that, detail that I really should know. If I'm scripting every single detail like that, it's less important to me, that information, than creating the engagement and the connection with that group of people.
That's so true. I think as well as the beginning, those first few minutes that are so important, I also really like to use the transition points in ceremony. Yeah. So that might be before or after a speaker has come up, before or after a slideshow presentation, or after a certain ritual, really looking for those moments where you can connect with the audience. Maybe they've laughed a little bit, or I had a couple of ceremonies where everyone just kept talking about wine and how much wine the person who died loved drinking, and they loved drinking, and every single speaker was talking about how they used to enjoy many, many bottles of wine with this person.
Yep.
And so I just remember when I came back up to move into the next part of the ceremony, just making a reference to there being this, it seems to be a theme here, and everyone laughed, and it was a moment for them just to kind of drop their masks and laugh together. So those transition points are a really good opportunity to lead with intuition and connect deeper with the audience.
And the opposite of that is having every single word written down in between each different element. So like, you know, you might have certain speaker sharing a tribute and then you've got some words scripted next. And if you're just reading those words, it is almost like you're just slotting in words in between these different elements. Mm. But like you said, if there's certain things that you can acknowledge that people have said or an image that you've seen, so by sort of incorporating some of those techniques can really create a more cohesive and more smoother ceremony, which, you know, is a lot more enjoyable for the group of guests that are there.
So, Ollie, let's talk about when the dynamics of a family are challenging. Because up until this point, it's been all unicorns and rainbows. Mm-hmm. But what happens when there's a rift between family members, or maybe people are experiencing a lot of anger or even hatred or resentment towards the person who's died? How can we as funeral celebrants still get what we need out of these conversations without getting sucked into all the drama?
Mm. Well, first of all, if I could just say that I've definitely experienced difficult dynamics within families. I make it a really clear, and this is part of my boundaries thing as well, I make it really clear of what my role is and where I'm prepared to go in terms of support. And if I do detect that there's difficult family dynamics happening, I kind of do address it in a really gentle and understanding way, but let them know that I'm not in a position to be navigating that. Mm. My role is to create the ceremony based on their needs. But if there's disagreements, that's up to them to work out and to give me the proper information. Mm. But, you know, navigating those sorts of family dynamics, which are sometimes a little bit challenging as a funeral celebrant, it requires a delicate balance of empathy, professionalism, and I would say emotional intelligence. Mm. Developing or establishing the trust and open communication from the beginning, I think, is really key. So creating a safe and non-judgmental space for everyone in that meeting, family members, friends, to be able to express themselves and also letting, you know, my primary contact, whoever that may be, know that my job is this, it's not managing family dynamics. So even before we get to that first meeting, perhaps I might even let them know if I can sense that there might be some disagreements in the process, I might just sort of respectfully suggest that they just don't invite them to that. But again, it just comes back to setting your boundaries and being really clear about what your role is and what your role isn't. That's what I think.
I think as funeral celebrants, this is probably one of the biggest challenges we face because obviously our clients are in a vulnerable state. Grief brings up so many emotions and that can be projected onto us. Unfortunately, it can bring out the worst in terms of those underlying family dynamics. So I think it's also important for us, as we've said, to really hold firm on those boundaries and don't be afraid to hold individual meetings or send separate questions to people if there is a rift but everyone wants to be involved.
100%.
So you can engage with other people's stories without getting caught in the drama. So you kind of separate the content from all of the dynamics and the emotions that are going on.
Yeah.
I also think it's really important to establish firm ground rules for discussions from the very beginning. So this sets the tone that really as funeral celebrants, as you said, Ollie, this is what we do, this is what we don't do.
Mm.
And you really set the ground rules that this is a respectful and focused environment where absolutely everyone feels heard, but it's a level playing field. Mm. No one's feelings are more important than others. In fact, let's just all put our feelings to the side for a little bit in terms of our feelings for each other and focus on the person who's died and how you want to honor them.
Yeah. Just on that point as well, I think one thing that is really helpful to funeral celebrants and their families is also outlining preferred methods of contact and timings as well. So if you kind of have a, Monday to Saturday contactable between these hours, Sunday not, unless it's an emergency. So it just helps clients be reminded of what your role is and that you're not necessarily at their beck and call at any moment that they, you know, might suddenly think of something or then consequently change their mind the next day. So which happens, right? Mm-hmm. People are in this state of unknown and everything, and it can be an idea and here and things like that. And that can be really, really taxing on you as a funeral celebrant, especially if you're working with more than one family at a time. It can be a lot sort of having to navigate that. So I just try and keep it really clear about when I'm contactable and what's considered an emergency and what's not.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And that will be so individual for every person. Mm. But I do think laying out those guidelines from the beginning means that you won't be getting calls and texts at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had a client that was calling me at 10, 11 o'clock at night sometimes. They were very demanding. And so establishing as soon as that started to happen that these are my contactable hours and I'm more than happy to, you know, facilitate any conversation that you need within those, within a respectable time frame. I mean, I don't want 20 calls a day, but that's such a good point. Yeah. I think it's also really important in these moments, whether it's tricky family dynamics or those strong feelings that may be having towards the person who's died, whatever the situation is. One thing that I do try to foster as much as possible is compassion.
Mm.
And that's both for my clients and for myself. So I know that sometimes when we have those really tricky clients or those dynamics do kind of start to get in the way, I find that when I look at it through the lens of compassion and understanding and try to stop myself from holding judgment, it just means that I can stay neutral throughout the whole process. And it's a really important way for us to protect ourselves, but also to protect our clients as well. So be mindful of the language that you use, both in your meetings and in the ceremonies. Sometimes things can slip out, or if there is some kind of bias there, even an unconscious bias that you may not be aware of, it's really important to constantly be checking on yourself.
Mm.
Avoid taking sides or using language that may exacerbate the problem and bring up further tensions. That's the last thing we want. So it's really important just to focus on the things within your skill set, which really is about creating beautiful ceremonies.
And it's interesting that boundaries have come up again in this podcast or this episode because, boundaries obviously comes up quite a lot, and it's just so important. But being mindful of what your role is and avoiding getting into personal family disputes or anything like that is really important, and it's definitely not something that we should be sort of getting into or even really touching. But, you know, if conversations do perhaps become a little bit heated or erring on the side of something a bit negative, I would just gently guide the discussion back to something more positive and constructive and bring them back on track, or even just encourage the sharing of some positive memories or aspects of that person and the relationship as much as possible.
And you can be really creative in those meetings as well, where maybe you can ask people to write things so they have their own personal space rather than it being an open forum. Mm. They can maybe write a few core memories on a card, or so you can almost ritualize the meetings that you have when it is tricky dynamics. So you can think outside the box, not just for your ceremonies, but in every touch point that you have with your client. And I think the overarching theme, we talk a lot about boundaries in the course, Ollie, but we also talk about the art of active listening. Mm-hmm. And I think that so much of this is about really listening to our clients. And active listening is a fundamental skill set in effective communication, especially in situations where understanding and empathy are crucial, like funeral celebrancy. Mm-hmm. We know that there's lots of emotion involved in the work that we do. So when we really actively listen to our clients and their wants and their needs, it fosters a sense of connection and trust between us and them.
And we have a wonderful role play in the Funeral Fix online course where we, Yaz and I, we had a little bit of fun with that, giving a little bit of an example of active listening.
Yes, we did. That was fun.
As funeral celebrants, the art of holding space and leading with intuition is not just a professional duty, but a profound and transformative approach to this work. Navigating sensitive conversations requires us to be really attuned to the unique needs of each grieving family, fostering compassion and obviously maintaining boundaries as well.
Active listening becomes our guiding light, creating a bridge of understanding and trust. By embracing these principles, we not only provide solace in challenging times, but we also craft ceremonies that resonate deeply with the essence of the person we're remembering. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Funeral Fix podcast. If you're ready to embark on your funeral celebrant training, visit our website www.funeralfix.com.au for immediate access. Use code PODCAST to save $120 off the full price course. Plus, enjoy peace of mind with our 30-day money-back guarantee.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Funeral Fix acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.